October 29th, 2022, 1755 hours. Little children, for some reason, Jehovah had me start at Psalm 6, and we repeated 6 through 9, and that's how I thought I'd already read what was in Psalm 9. I recognized finally that it was Psalm 9. That was the only place where that concept was found. So we should have read 26, 27, 28, 29. But Jehovah let that happen. I just think we should cover those now. They're very short. Every one of them is short. So, of David. Judge me, O Jehovah, for I myself have walked in my own integrity, and in Jehovah I have trusted, that I may not wobble. Examine me, O Jehovah, and put me to the test. Refine my kidneys and my heart. For your loving kindness is in front of my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. I have not sat with men of untruth, and with those who hide what they are, I do not come in. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and with the wicked ones I do not sit. I shall wash my hands in innocency itself. And I will march around your altar, O Jehovah, to cause thanksgiving to be heard aloud and to declare all your wonderful works. Jehovah, I have loved the dwelling of your house and the place of the residing of your glory. Do not take away my soul along with sinners, nor my life along with blood-guilty men, in whose hands there is loose conduct and whose right hand is full of bribery. As for me, in my integrity I shall walk. O, redeem me and show me favor. My own foot will certainly stand on a level place among the congregated throngs. I shall bless Jehovah. That was Psalms 26. Psalm 27 of David. Psalm 26 of David. 27. Jehovah is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be in fear? Jehovah is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be in dread? When the evildoers approached against me to eat up my flesh, they being my adversaries and my enemies personally, they themselves stumbled and fell. Though against me an encampment should pitch tent, my heart will not fear. Though against me war should rise, even then I shall be trusting. One thing I have asked from Jehovah. It is what I shall look for, that I may dwell in the house of Jehovah all the days of my life, to behold the pleasantness of Jehovah and to look with appreciation upon his temple. For he will hide me in his covert in the day of calamity. He will conceal me in the secret place of his tent. High on a rock he will put me. And now my head will be high above my enemies all around me. And I will sacrifice at his tent sacrifices of joyful shouting. I will sing and make melody to Jehovah. Hear, O Jehovah, when I call with my voice, and show me favor and answer me. Concerning you, my heart has said, seek to find my face, you people. Your face, O Jehovah, I shall seek to find. Do not conceal your face from me. Do not in anger turn your servant away. My assistance you must become. Do not forsake me and do not leave me, O my God of salvation. In case my own father and my own mother did leave me, even Jehovah himself would take me up. Instruct me, O Jehovah, in your way, and lead me in the path of uprightness on account of my foes. Do not give me over to the soul of my adversaries, for against me false witnesses have risen up, and he who launches forth violence. If I had not had faith in seeing the goodness of Jehovah in the land of those alive, hope in Jehovah. Be courageous and let your heart be strong. Yes, hope in Jehovah. Psalm 28 of David. To you, O Jehovah, I keep calling. O my rock, do not be deaf to me, that you may not keep still toward me, and I do not have to become like those going down to the pit. Hear the word of my entreaties when I cry to you for help, when I raise my hands to the innermost room of your holy place. Do not draw me along with wicked people and with practicers of what is hurtful, those who are speaking peace with their companions, but in whose hearts is what is bad. Give to them according to their acting and according to the badness of their practices, according to the work of their hands. Do you give to them, pay back to them their own doing, for they have no regard for the activities of Jehovah, nor for the work of his hands. He will tear them down and not build them up. Blessed be Jehovah, for he has heard the voice of my entreaties. Jehovah is my strength and my shield. In him my heart has trusted, and I have been helped, so that my heart exults, and with my song I shall laud him. Jehovah is a strength to his people, and he is a stronghold of the grand salvation of his anointed one. Do save your people and bless your inheritance, and shepherd them and carry them to time indefinite. Psalm 29, a melody of David. Ascribe to Jehovah, O you sons of strong ones. Ascribe to Jehovah glory and strength. Ascribe to Jehovah the glory of his name. Bow down to Jehovah in holy adornment. The voice of Jehovah is over the waters. The glorious God himself has thundered. Jehovah is over many waters. The voice of Jehovah is powerful. The voice of Jehovah is splendid. The voice of Jehovah is breaking the cedars. Yes, Jehovah breaks the cedars of Lebanon in pieces, and he makes them skip about like a calf. Lebanon and Sirion like the sons of wild bulls. The voice of Jehovah is hewing with the flames of fire. The voice of Jehovah itself makes the wilderness writhe. Jehovah makes the wilderness of Kadesh writhe. The voice of Jehovah itself makes the hinds writhe with birth pains and strips bare the forests. And in his temple each one is saying, glory! Upon the deluge Jehovah has seated himself. And Jehovah sits as king to time indefinite. Jehovah himself will give strength indeed to his people. Jehovah himself will bless his people with peace. That was Psalm 29. So now we're up to date with the ones we missed, but we reviewed Psalm 6 through 9. That was good. When we look at, let's go through these again briefly if we can. I have not sat with men of untruth, right, in Psalm 26. I've hated the congregation of evildoers. And we saw in Isaiah 9, we were talking about, was it 9, Isaiah? Let's go and check. I think it was today's study, but I'm not even sure because we're doing studies every day. Right. All of them are apostates, verse 17. Of 9, Isaiah 9:17. All of them were apostates. So all of Jehovah's people were apostates at some point during Isaiah's day. That's what Jehovah told him. So here, this psalm relates to that, Psalm 26. David is saying, I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and with the wicked ones I do not sit. But he also says, I've loved the dwelling of your house. He loves Jehovah's house. I have not sat with men of untruth. Verse 4. He doesn't come in with those who hide what they are. Verse 4. He doesn't go with people who are deceiving themselves or deceiving others or both about who they are, about what they're like. People who hide what they are, they pretend to be one thing And they're not. They pretend to be good and they're evil. He doesn't approve. David doesn't approve, and neither does Jehovah, of course. But David does not sit with those people. But he loved the dwelling of the house of Jehovah in verse 8. He loved the house of Jehovah. He thought the house of Jehovah was good. And he said, among the congregated throngs I shall bless Jehovah in verse 12. Look at this. My own foot will certainly stand on a level place too. That's an interesting thought. Standing on a level place is a lot easier to stand than it is to stand on a slope, a side slope, or a downhill or an uphill. It's easier to stand on a level place. And he mentions integrity in verse 11 and verse 1. I have walked in my own integrity. Let's go to 27. Jehovah is my light, David wrote there. And even though war should rise against me, David says in verse 3, even then I shall be trusting, he says. Because he trusts, why? In Jehovah. Jehovah is my light, verse 1. Jehovah is my is the stronghold of my life, verse 1. Jehovah is the stronghold of my life. He will hide me in his covert. A covert is a place, like we have culverts. Culverts are where the water flows underneath the road. A covert is a place where an animal hides, or in this case, a human hides. It's a place of concealment. As he says there in verse 5, he will conceal me in the secret place of his tent. It's like a covert is a secret place. High on a rock he will put me. And now my head will be high above my enemies. And I will sacrifice at his tent sacrifices of joyful shouting. I will sing and make melody to Jehovah with loud singing, in other words. But yet he's humble. He says, hear, O Jehovah, when I call with my voice. He doesn't expect Jehovah to answer him. He's asking Jehovah. He's pleading with Jehovah to hear him. He's pleading with Jehovah to show him favor. Because he knows if he's not faithful, Jehovah could conceal his face in verse 9. In verse 7, he says, show me favor. But in verse 9, he says, do not conceal your face from me. Jehovah, he's asking to answer him, to stay with him. Do not forsake me, verse 9. My God of salvation, in case, in verse 10, my own father and my own mother did leave me. Even Jehovah himself would take me up. That's very powerful for many people whose father and whose mother did leave them, and whom Jehovah did take up. Because they know this scripture is true. They've seen it. For those who have not seen it, if their father and mother left them, this scripture can give them hope, because they can see that Jehovah will take them up if their father and mother has left them. So that's a very memorable scripture. That verse 10 is 27 and 10 of Psalms. Very important. And this, the idea of seeing the goodness in verse 13 of Jehovah. That's you know, encouragement again for anybody who is exercising faith, is anyone who has faith in seeing the goodness of Jehovah in the land of those alive. It's an interesting expression, in the land of those alive, implying that if we don't have Jehovah, we're dead, or something along those lines. Hope in Jehovah, be courageous. Right? Because if I didn't have faith, if I had not had faith, it says, in seeing the goodness of Jehovah, and then it doesn't even finish the thought, because he can't even apparently bear to think of what would have happened if he had not had faith. And he ends by saying, instead, hope in Jehovah. It's better just to hope in Jehovah. Don't even consider what would have happened if you didn't hope in Jehovah. Just hope in Jehovah, because he knows that what would have happened otherwise would have been far worse. And he can't even finish the sentence in verse 13. Be courageous and let your heart be strong. And he repeats that idea. Yes, hope in Jehovah, because he knows it's true. That was 27. Yep. Let's go to 28. He asks Jehovah to hear the voice of his entreaties, his, you know, begging Jehovah for help. That's what entreaty means. Verse 2, he asks Jehovah to hear him when he begs Jehovah for help. He wants Jehovah to hear. He doesn't want Jehovah to ignore him, obviously, right, when he's asking for help. He wants Jehovah, and he's asking Jehovah to help him. And also, he says, also, do not draw me along with wicked people and with practicers of what is hurtful. So there's the opposite thing, too. He wants to be protected from the wicked people, as well as he wants Jehovah to give him help when he needs help. But he also, you know, both. He wants to be also kept free from the wicked people. We know freedom is important, so freedom from bad people is important too. Freedom from bad practices, freedom from addictions, freedom from all these things is important. Jehovah, we can ask Jehovah for help so that we're not drawn along with wicked people, with people who are practicing bad things like addictions or whatever they're doing that's bad. Could be violent people or whoever. Those who are speaking peace with their companions, but in whose hearts is what is bad. Protect me from those people, or don't draw me with those people, Jehovah. Give them according to their work in verse 4, but Jehovah, be blessed in verse 6. For he does hear, he has heard my entreaties. Jehovah is my strength and my shield. Verse 7, that's a common theme in the Psalms. That's an expression we see. Jehovah is my strength and my shield. In him my heart has trusted. Psalm 28 we're in now, right? Jehovah is the strength of his people. With my song I shall laud him. So his song is one of exaltation, verse 7. Shepherd your people. Save your people and shepherd them, verse 9. Psalm 29. David is asking Jehovah all these things. Ascribe to Jehovah, O you sons of strong ones, glory and strength, verse 1. Bow down to Jehovah in holy adornment, verse 2. Jehovah's voice, Jehovah has a voice, first of all. He has a voice, and his voice is over the waters. His voice has thundered. Sometimes we might think of the thunder too as lightning and thunder. The thunder might be thought of as the voice of Jehovah. When we hear thunder, we often become fearful because we hear this thunder and we think, what could happen? You know, are we going to die? Is the lightning close? Are we going to get struck? Is there going to be, you know, some kind of damage done to our property? Is going to affect us? Thunder is a powerful thing. We think of it like it's a reflection of the power of lightning. It's not really powerful. The noise itself is not what's powerful, but the noise reminds us of Jehovah's power. So he breaks the cedars of Lebanon in pieces, verse 5. Right? His voice is hewing with flames of fire. That sounds like lightning. Verse 7. It's got these vivid metaphors. He makes the wilderness of Kadesh writhe. That's something. Writhe. The wilderness writhes. Try and picture that. It's very descriptive, very vivid. It's incredible. This psalm. Upon the deluge, Jehovah has seated himself. What deluge is that? Well, it could be the deluge of Noah, of course, but that's a long time before David. 3282 compared to 1058 for David. That's a long time. That's 2,200 years. 2,200 in 24 years. If I did the math right. Upon the deluge, Jehovah has seated himself. In verse 11, Jehovah himself will give strength indeed to his people and bless them with peace. There's the idea of peace again, which we had at the convention this year. So that's the Psalms that we sort of missed, but I guess we missed it for a purpose that Jehovah knows. I don't know. And I don't overly question myself when something like that happens. I mean, I could. I would if I was living completely isolated. But because I know there are other forces outside of my life, especially because I'm publishing online, it makes it easier for me, I think, to... I mean, I could try to claim it was a mistake. I didn't do it on purpose, maybe, but nobody knows that except Jehovah. So, but Jehovah knows that I did it for some reason, and he knows the reason. That's what faith gives us. It gives us the understanding that we can attribute everything to Jehovah, that he's the cause of everything. So he gave me that idea without my knowing it consciously. He gave me that idea somehow to do repeat Psalm 6. We repeated 6, 7, 8, 9 of Psalms. We'd already done them, and I didn't recognize that we'd even done them until I got to Psalm 9. But then I recognized, well, this is something I've seen before, and I went looking. I was looking at Psalm 9, and I thought, well, I've seen this before. Where did we just see this? And I kept looking for this concept here. Do put fear into them, verse 20 of chapter 9 of Psalms. Do put fear in them. Put fear into them, O Jehovah, that the nations may know that they are but mortal men. I thought, well, we just read that somewhere a few days ago, right? So I went back in the Psalms. I couldn't find it anywhere. I looked through Ecclesiastes. I looked everywhere. Isaiah. I looked in Song of Solomon. I looked everywhere. But I knew it wasn't in some of these other places, because I just knew that it's only Psalms that has this idea, this concept of that they may know that they are mortal men. There's nothing... Now, maybe there's slightly similar things in something like Isaiah. Not in Song of Solomon, and not in Ecclesiastes. Nothing... The word mortal doesn't appear. The word mortal does not occur in Ecclesiastes. I think it occurs maybe once in Proverbs or something. I'm not sure. Well, I can check. Let's see. I did check. I've checked already. I just can't remember for sure. It only occurs 67 times in the Bible, according to this, which may not be completely true because it was a database done by somebody. It wasn't done by Jehovah's organization. It was commissioned by them, and it wasn't completely perfect. There were mistakes made by the people who did this, but for example, some words it doesn't find, but the words it does find, it seems to be complete. And if it is complete, it doesn't find the word mortal in the book of Proverbs at all. So let's check. We can check it here. The word mortal? Proverbs? I don't see it there. Yeah. Well, see this, but it occurs a lot, 67 times. We have to look through all 67. It's like I missed the occurrence of the you must rejoice in every undertaking. I did that search. It did pop up, but I didn't see it because it was Deuteronomy 12 and 18, and it was given it was given out of order. So it was given after a later reference. Like we look up must rejoice, I looked up, right? I said, must rejoice. And I looked here and I saw Deuteronomy 24 and 5. I thought we were done with Deuteronomy, so we could not find Deuteronomy 12 and 18. But if you look further, it is there, 12 and 18. It does say that. You must rejoice before Jehovah your God in every undertaking of yours. Deuteronomy 12 and 18. Right? So it was out of order. Like the 12 and 18 is 12 comes before 24, but it was still after in the search results. Right. Here it's talking about you must rejoice before Jehovah in every undertaking of yours. And here, of course, it is talking about when they gave sacrifices at the temple, or at the tabernacle, actually, in those days, before they had the temple, and before Jehovah, you will eat it in the place that Jehovah, your God, will choose. It was talking about doing these things at the tabernacle, but, or later at the temple it would have been, but it says you must rejoice before Jehovah. Right? So if you're not going to the temple or the tabernacle, you rejoice before Jehovah anyway in every undertaking of yours. I thought about this. It comes down to freedom too. That it's got to do with the truth will set you free. There's no obligation that should be felt to go to any meetings because the truth will set you free. Freedom is what is so important in the ransom that Jesus gave. The sacrifice of Christ was to give us freedom from sin, but freedom from everything, from enslavement to anything, freedom, complete freedom. It gives us freedom. Without freedom, the sacrifice of Jesus is meaningless. So I'm free by the same token. I'm free to read Psalms in whatever order I want to. Nobody can bind me to any particular order. I don't have to I'm not obligated. I don't have to follow a certain procedure or a certain order. I can read them in any order I want. That's the power of freedom. It's an incredible power. It's an enormous power. It's a phenomenal power, and it's one that brings responsibility. With freedom comes responsibility. We have to be responsible with how we use our power. You know, by the same token, as we say in English. By the same token means in the same standard, according to the same standard, or in harmony with that way of measuring things, or in accordance with that way of measuring things is another way to say by the same token. So, you know, we say it all the time, by the same token, we must do this. Because we did that, we have to do this, but that doesn't mean that we're not free. Of course, it's just we can draw parallels and say, well, you know, it's about justice, really. It's about that, you know. Oh yeah, right. Well, responsibility with freedom comes responsibility. Right? That's not the same as saying I'm free. You can't say I'm free and by the same token I have responsibility. I don't think that works because it's not the same. You can't compare those two. Freedom and responsibility are complementary, but they're not equivalent. You know, they don't equate. So you have freedom, you have to have responsibility or you'll lose your freedom. Like that's the reason you have to be responsible. Because you can lose your freedom if you're irresponsible. You can lose your health, you can lose your life, all these things you can lose if you're irresponsible. So freedom brings with it responsibility. I'm saying it all the time, I just can't think of an example. I guess, well, I don't want to give an example that's questionable, but it happens. I'm using that, or I want to use, I either use that expression or I want to use that expression all the time by the same token. Because it comes up all the time where I'm saying, you know, this is something that I think is true, but then by the same token, this is also true. Something that's parallel to that is also true. It's something parallel concept. Right, let's see. I'm reading Psalm 9 right now. It's strange that I can't think of an example. I just can't think of a single example of by the same token. But I already used it. I just can't remember what I said it about what I said it. I can't remember the context in which I used it just now. Maybe I will remember it in a moment, but I can't remember it. Well, we're free, though. That's the thing. That's maybe the most important concept. It's one of the most important concepts about the Bible is it gives us freedom because Jehovah gave us the Bible, not so that some religious leaders could hold it over our heads and say, this requires you to go to meetings because we have the Bible. And we're the only ones who know how to interpret the Bible, therefore you have to go to the meetings to get the interpretation from us. That's not why Jehovah gave us the Bible. He didn't give us the Bible for that purpose. He gave us the Bible because it's fully given. It's fully for us. It's for us. He gave it to us. It's fully understandable by us without any other help. We're capable of understanding it. That's why he gave us the Bible. I mean, that's the reason why William Tyndall gave his life, was to translate the Bible into English so that people could know we could read it, so that we could read it without having clergy translating it from Latin for us. That's why Martin Luther translated the Bible. I mean, that's why many people have translated the Bible so that we could have it and be free of the religious domination of clergy, the religious abuse of the clergy, abusing their congregations by keeping the information secret from them. It's very important that we read the Bible the way it is and not interpret it in terms of some... It's just disgusting to even think about, to even contemplate that we need a human, if you can even call them human, if you call them human who translate the Bible, or, I mean, translating is fine, but who attempt to keep it secret so that they can manipulate people into doing what they want. That's disgusting. To even call them human is not really accurate, because freedom is a value that humans are able to possess, and they have every right to possess, and they've got the ransom sacrifice to give them that freedom. So, I mean, it's contemptible to try to enforce some kind of routine on people that they have to do this things this way or that way, or that the Bible is giving us freedom. And yet we know David said I, speaking of David, would praise Jehovah in the congregated throngs, among the congregated throngs, 26 and 12, I shall bless Jehovah in the congregated throngs. Among the congregated throngs, I shall bless Jehovah. He wanted to be in a large group blessing Jehovah. But he didn't want to sit with people who were evil. He wouldn't do that. Anyway, that's important. So these are important ideas. The problem is it's very easy to get far away from the Bible and to lose sight of the Bible text when we refer to other voluminous texts, like big, large volumes of books and articles and, you know, with many words and things that are not the Bible itself. It takes a long time to read them, and they don't keep us engrossed in the Bible itself. They can't do anything other than take us away from the Bible to some extent. They can never bring us into the Bible unless they are the Bible themselves. Unless it's a Bible translation that we are reading, unless we're reading the text of the Bible, we have no way to get the true meaning or to have any concept of what it really is saying unless we're reading the actual text. So ultimately, it would be better, of course, if we could read the original languages. But we're reading the best translation we can get our hands on. And we will refer to the original language texts at different times, I'm sure. But it's a lot of work to read the Bible. And I know that many of these people are intending us to get a better understanding of the Bible, but to do that, they're imposing rules of behavior which are not in accordance with the idea of freedom. That's the problem. It's just not in accordance with freedom. Okay, so I mean, I went out and raked some leaves today, so I'm happy about that. But I didn't get too much done. I started very late with my raking. But I was tired, so I wouldn't have wanted to do any more than I did today. It was fine. I tried my new boots for the first time. I don't need to wear boots to do raking. I can use my sandals, but as the weather gets colder, my feet will stay warm if I wear boots. They protect my feet, but also my Danner boots I wore today. The leather's not broken in, and my right heel is slipping. So I've ordered, last night, was it last night? I think it was last night. I ordered, it was very recently, I ordered several different insoles, orthopedic or orthotic insoles, different kinds of spacers that I can use in my shoes to help me make these new shoes fit better. I think the Merrells fit almost perfectly, and I think, but there's always some improvement that can be made. And the Danner's it's my right boot that doesn't fit properly because my right foot is smaller than my left. So I think when they break in, they're going to be fine, but they're not broken in yet. So I need to really tie them tight, and I need to put in a spacer, but I can't put a different size spacer. You can't put a different size spacer in a shoe. Listen to this song here. If you want to stick around and listen to this, you can. If you want to stay with our studies, you can do that. I'll be back tomorrow, hopefully. I was saying you can't put a different size orthotic in each shoe, because then your feet that's going to hurt your ankles and knees and all that. Boots give more support for the ankles too. If they come up around the ankles, So they're better in that sense. But I tried putting in a different spacer in the one shoe. That's bad for the body because your legs will be different lengths. I mean, it's very bad for your body potentially to do that. So you have to, maybe it's okay if one of your legs is shorter than the other, but if not, that's not the right thing. So if you have one leg longer than the other, that's something that has to be very carefully solved by somebody who knows what they're doing. But this problem of the foot sliding in the boot, I have to find an orthotic that I can put in both shoes that will work with both feet. That's the same thickness for both feet, I believe. So then I can hopefully prevent the slipping. But if I'd had a smaller boot, I don't know that that would have been the best idea. When boots are new, I mean, if I've been trying these in the store, I would not have bought these boots because they're slightly too big. But when you're hiking, your feet will swell too. And that's when your shoes will fit better. So if they're too big, that's a good thing. So it depends on what use you've got, how you're using them. Hiking boots, you could be walking a long time, or I could wear these boots for many hours and my feet could swell. And it could be a good thing having them a little bit oversized. So a little bigger, I mean, you know, big oversized. But I need to break in these Danners, I think. And I've got to put foot powder in them regularly to keep them smelling fresh. I've got my new foot powder, so I used it today also after I was done. So that's it. That's it for today. This is Reunion Blues by Oscar Peterson, 1977 in Montreal at the Montreux Jazz Festival. It's got Ray Brown on double bass, or Niels Henning, Orsted Peterson. Niels Henning, Orsted Peterson also is the other double bass. There is no drummer. Isn't there a drummer? There's a lot of bass. I guess there's no drummer. I didn't notice there wasn't a drummer till just now, actually. But, yeah. That's it. That might be Niels Henning right there. I'm not sure, but could also be Ray Brown. I might be able to recognize the style difference. But I don't know them very well. There's no video, it's just an audio. Thank you. it comes. Reunion Blues. Oscar Peterson, Ray Brown, Niels Henning, Orsted Peterson. Niels Henning is a hyphenated first name. Orsted, the middle name. Peterson, the last name. So Peterson and Peterson and Brown. Now, I'm not sure. I think both bass players are playing, alternating with each other during this performance. I'm not even sure because I haven't listened to it very much. But there's also another one featuring Joe Pass right here. Look at this. Right. And this is the quartet. This is phenomenal. This is phenomenal. The quartet, Oscar Peterson, the quartet with Joe Pass on guitar. I love this. Yeah, I love this. Called Cool Walk. Oh wait, I can show you this. Come on, where are you? David Young on bass. Joe Pass. Thank you. caught us up. Martin Drew on drums as well. David Young on bass, Martin Drew on drums, Joe Pass on guitar, and Oscar Peterson on piano. Have a great day. October 29th, 2022, 1848 hours. Bye for now.